This morning, I want to think with you about grace. Maybe you've gathered that already. That's the topic of our sermon, our message this morning. Grace. And that hymn was just lovely, wasn't it? Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Grace is kindness that we don't deserve. Grace is, in fact, getting the opposite of what we deserve. Someone asked C.S. Lewis what it was that made Christianity different from every other religion. And he is said to have said, oh, that's easy. It's grace. Grace. Because other religions don't have any idea of grace. Generally, in pagan religions, you get what you earn. You get what you deserve. The favor of the God, whoever he is, has to be earned by sacrificing to him, or by giving him gifts, or by obeying him. You get what you deserve. One way or another, you have to earn his favor. You see, non-Christian religions tend to say, do this, do that, and you'll be okay. Christianity says God has done it all. God has done it all. Christianity has shown us a God of grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Undeserved kindness, or another definition we sometimes give to our children, is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Using the first letters of the word grace. Now, as evangelical Christians, we say we believe in grace. It's a pillar of our faith. And yet often we live practically as if we didn't believe in it at all. We live as if we were earning our salvation. Or we're fearful that God hasn't really accepted us because we're not good enough. And we're forgetting grace. Forgetting grace. Grace, God's love in action towards men who merit the opposite of love. That's what grace is. Grace is God moving heaven and earth to save sinners who could not lift a finger to save themselves. Grace showed itself in God sending his only Son to the cross, to descend into hell on the cross, so that we guilty ones might be reconciled. Grace that exceeds all my sin. For God has made Jesus to be sin for us. Grace is just a wonderful aspect of God's character. As I said, it's not getting what you deserve. It's getting the opposite of what you deserve. Instead of condemnation, we become children of God. So I want to think about God's grace, and I want to think about it in a way that to show what it isn't, and so to bring out the wonder of what it is, right? Why is grace important? Why is it important that God's grace to us is his undeserved kindness? First thing I want to say is that we don't deserve the blessing of God ourselves. Now, we can very easily start to think that we do, can't we? Many of us tend to think of ourselves as quite nice people, really. Pretty decent folk. And as modern people, we judge ourselves kindly. Patting ourselves on the back for small virtues and minimizing great vices. And since we judge ourselves kindly, we tend to think that God probably judges us kindly too. And we don't understand the concept of sin and how sinful sin is. I often visited old folk who had spent a lifetime in church, and who didn't like to be told they were sinners. If you mentioned sin, being sinners, they would say, oh, well, I'm not a sinner. I haven't really done anything wrong. We don't realize. They didn't realize that the heart of man is wicked, always wicked. The passage we read together, the first in Ephesians, the first three verses describe us as we are, dead in transgressions and sins, Ephesians 2 verse 1, following the ways of the world, spirit not work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Modern people, they don't like this teaching. Perhaps there's somebody here today and you don't like this teaching. And yet we are fallen creatures, separated and estranged from God, rebels, guilty, and fit for condemnation. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah told us. Romans 3 verse 10, we're reminded there is none righteous, no, not one. You see, we don't deserve God's blessing on us. All that we can claim is justice, and that would be judgment and condemnation. But God is a God of grace. It is by grace you are saved. And grace is free and unmerited, right? That's why grace is so important to us and so wonderful. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And our salvation is because of grace. You know, on those days when you feel far from God, perhaps when you failed him, when you begin to wonder, well, does he really love me at all? I can't be his because I've failed him. Remember that you're saved by grace through faith in what Jesus has done. It doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on you, on your own goodness or on your own feelings. It is all of grace. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. The second reason why grace is so important is that one day God will judge sin. He will judge sin. As I said, we tend to turn a blind eye to it if we can. We tolerate it in others for as long as we can. We're kind to it in ourselves. And we think God is like us. A God in our own image who will ignore sin. But no. That's not our God. Again, Ephesians 2 verse 3. We are objects of wrath, we're told. Right? Objects of wrath. Because God will judge sin. He is of purer eyes than to look on iniquity. Back in the Old Testament, Malachi 3 verse 2. We read these words, who can endure the day of his coming? For he will be like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. It will be a day of judgment. And if we stand before God unforgiven, it will be an awful day. An awful day. Bible tells us that those who stand before God unforgiven on that day will call on the mountains to fall on them and hide them. But we need God to act towards us in grace. That's what's so wonderful. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. The judgment of God will one day be seen on sin. What do we deserve? We deserve that judgment. We deserve it. What are we given? Mercy. Mercy when we turn in faith to Jesus Christ. That is grace. Verses 4 and 5 of Ephesians 2, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. What do we deserve? Judgment. What are we given in Christ? We're given mercy. That is grace. That is grace, you see. That is grace. Third thing I want to say is that we are powerless to help ourselves. We put men on the moon. We have instant communications. We communicate by the internet. The doctors can do amazing things. Science can do amazing things. So surely we can sort things out with God. When we meet him, we can reason with him. After all, he won't be too hard on decent people like us. Well, you know, again, that's the thinking of the pagan religions that thought, well, we can buy God's favor. We can put him in our debt and he will have to be good to us. Not so. Not so. The hymn writer wrote, "Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. We cannot save ourselves. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone." Romans 3 verse 20 tells us no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. The Bible is clear, you see. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. It puts us all on the one level as sinners before God. All of us. There is none righteous. No, not one. But there is grace. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace. Undeserved kindness. Unable to help ourselves. But God does it for us through his undeserved kindness. Grace is getting forgiveness when you cannot lift a finger to help it yourself. Because you help yourself. Because you're dead. Dead in transgression and sins. Dead. Fourthly, salvation is all of grace because God is free and sovereign. He's not under any obligation to be nice to us. We can't put him in our debt. Again, that's a pagan idea. You know, the ancient pagan peoples used to think that their God, whoever he was, needed them. Because if they didn't offer their sacrifices, he would go hungry. He depended upon them. Not so the God of heaven. Eh? Not so our God. He doesn't depend on us for his welfare. He's sovereign. We can only claim justice from him. But when God pardons, he does so freely. With anyone forcing his hand, as it were. He freely forgives because of his mercy and grace. He is free and he is sovereign. Again, looking at the passage we read together, for it is by grace, for chapter 2 and verse 8 of Ephesians, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is by grace, not by works. Not by works. This means we can do nothing to earn our salvation. It's free and unearned. Nothing we can do can make him love us more. And the reverse of that is also true. Nothing we can do can make him love us less. For he's chosen to love us because he's a God of grace. Paul, the persecutor of the church, remember Paul? He persecuted the church. He was stopped in his tracks by God, turned into a preacher of the gospel. Why? Because he deserved it? He certainly didn't. But that happened because God is a God of grace. grace to the chief of sinners. We're saved by grace. God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Saved by grace. Why? Because we don't deserve the blessing of God. Why? Because God will judge sin and we are sinners. Because we're powerless to help ourselves, we're dead. Because God is free and sovereign. And it's when we understand these truths that we understand the wonder of grace. Because grace is such a wonderful thing. Marvelous grace. We have nothing to bargain with when we come to God. But God is a God of grace. Undeserved kindness, undeserved favor. He's the God who welcomes back the prodigal son, as we're going to think about in a moment. That grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all peoples. The story of the lost son, prodigal son. It's a story we all know so well, isn't it? And it's an illustration of grace. It's an illustration of grace and pardon. Did the son deserve to be welcomed back into his family? No. He'd taken half his dad's money, he had wasted it, and then he comes back. His dad could have said, "You've made your bed, lie on it, go away." But he didn't. He didn't. He welcomed him back. "This, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Would taking him on as a servant have seemed generous, or as a servant in the Bible, or as an employee in my story? Would taking him back as a servant have seemed generous? Yes, it would. It would. Getting the warmest of welcomes when we deserve the door to be slammed in our faces. That's grace. That's grace. And that's it. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. He makes slaves partners of his throne. He takes the rebel and he makes us a priest and a king. He has bought us and taught us his praises to sing. Grace. Warmest of welcomes. And why is that grace so wonderful? Well, we see it in the cross, don't we? Because God so loved us and he wanted to show his grace to us, that he sent Jesus to die in our place. He didn't have to. We didn't deserve it. But God took the initiative. God always takes initiative, you know. When we feel drawn to him, it's because he's drawing close to us. He always takes the initiative. Moving heaven and earth, as it were, to bring us back into his family. So what's your response to his grace this morning? Is there someone here and you haven't received Jesus as Savior? You're saying no, or you're saying no to him, or you think you're too big a sinner? Surely he couldn't love me. I'm too big a sinner. Well, he does. He does. The death of Jesus on the cross is greater than all my sin. Greater than all our sin, covers everything. Is it not enough to cover your sin? It is. It is. Or you're saying, "No, I don't want. I don't want to know you. I don't want to know. I want to go my own way. I don't want your great undeserved kindness. I refuse it." God offers forgiveness, adoption into his family, a future in heaven, all undeserved. And we're going to say no. Is there someone here and you're saying no? Oh, what folly to say no to this offer of grace and forgiveness. Don't do it. Today, let today be the day when you come and you say, "Yes, yes, thank you for that wonderful grace. I take Jesus today as my Savior. Forgive me, forgive me." And Christian friends, you know, we can get used to the idea of grace. And we begin to doubt that it's big enough to cover our failings in our day-to-day Christian life. We maybe think, well, yes, we're saved by grace, but we carry on by works. But it's all of grace. It's all of grace. We cannot live the Christian life apart from God's grace. An old hymn writer wrote, "'Twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb who all my sorrows took." And he says, "Grace taught my wandering feet to tread the pilgrim road, and new supplies each hour I meet while pressing on to God. Grace taught my heart to pray and pardoning love to know. 'Twas grace that kept me to this day and will not let me go." We praise God today for his grace. His grace greater than all our sin. May each one of you know that grace and rejoice in that grace in your lives today. Let's pray.